everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of the Read Right to Left podcast. I, as always, am your host, G, joined by my always wonderful co-host, Ray, from Whimsical Pictures.
Hi, guys.
And today, for the month of June, we are doing a, I guess, publisher app spotlight. Today we're going to be talking about the Mangamo platform subscription service that they offer, which is, I believe, app only via Apple and Android. So yep. It allows you to read a huge amount of manga.
I was surprised.
A monthly subscription of $4.99 US, which is roughly about $7.20-ish Australian monthly.
So, and it is a worldwide app. It's one of their selling points. So
all of their series in English, some completed, some exclusive to the platform, so Mangamo's own releases that they've been doing, as well as a lot of content from other publishers, most notably being Kodansha and Tokyopop, but not exclusively. There's a lot of other stuff on there as well, especially from some of those weird little digital manga publishers that you don't really know like where they pop up from. But they're out there. They exist. So today, rather than, I think, focusing on a lot of the titles that you, our listeners, will hopefully be fairly familiar with, just because they are Kodansha or Tokyopop titles, Ray and I are going to be talking about specifically the Mangamo titles themselves, as well as the platform itself.
Yes. However, I did want to just go ahead and showcase, because in terms of like other publishers' content, there really is a ton here. Some of them, like Tokyo Revengers, only has like 5 chapters on there, so those will just be like previews. But like, there are, when it says partial series on here, sometimes it means like a good half of the series.
A huge chunk of it. Chihayafuru, Ace of Diamonds as well. They have at least 100 chapters available.
And like Devil's Line has exactly half of the series on there. It's a 14 volume series. 7 of them are on there. So if there's like series that you've been meaning to check out, but you really don't want to drop money on individual volumes, for basically your lump sum of $4.99 US, you know, you may as well like take a look at their catalog and see if there's something that you've been meaning to just check out. Because there is a ton.
It's also, interestingly enough, when you compare to other manga reading platforms, I always compare it to Viz or the Shonen Jump app, just because they are both monthly subscription services versus a coin-based or, you know, ink-based, whatever, point-based system, is that there isn't a chapter limit per day in the same way that the Shonen Jump app is. So if you are wanting to read, you know, 200 chapters, 1,000 chapters a day, you are able to do that. They're not gonna kind of bottleneck your service after a certain chapter limit, which is... For me, I don't have that much time, but I know a lot of people do, so...
I have been fortunate enough, because I am a teacher during the year, to have a lot of time to prepare for this podcast, and that lack of a chapter limit has been helpful. But also, you can, before you go into a subscription, you can just download the app for free. Then, of course, you can see what's in their library. But also, There will be like the first two or three chapters for a lot of their titles that are just going to be there as a preview if you aren't sure if you want to pay. So, you know, there's no harm in just grabbing the app and seeing what their library is.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes more. Sometimes like 15 or 20 chapters. And you're like, that's a lot of free content. And they're not necessarily hugely long chapters, but you still get a really good sense of the series itself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
With that, how about we talk about some of the titles that are on Mangamo? You, I think, did a little bit more reading on this just because you've had a little bit more free time than me, right? Yeah. but that isn't to say that I haven't done quite a bit of reading right up until tonight. And there's really, the other thing that I want to mention is that aside from, again, content from a variety of publishers, Mangamo's own content or series that they release, there's a really large kind of variety of genre there as well. So personally, like, there is a lot of romance stuff. Notably is Loving Yamada at level 999, which obviously had a huge boost in popularity thanks to the recent anime. But there's a whole bunch of that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm really interested in, like creepy kind of horror, thriller, supernatural stuff. I read a ton of that. But I think there's something really for everyone on the platform too. It doesn't stick just to one kind of demographic or audience.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that they're grabbing. They do have some stuff from like print publishers for sure, but they also have a lot of stuff. They seem to have a partnership going with the magazine Gamma, which specifically publishes things that are webcomic original. Which means that there's a wide breadth of just, like, weird shit on here. And I do mean that as a compliment, so.
Yes, yeah.
but that said, I thought that maybe we would just start out with some of their big ticket series, the things that they're pulling people in with, the things that they push, which I thought we could start with what is undoubtedly their biggest series right now, which is Loving Yamada at level 999. I had no expectations going into this. I haven't seen the anime or anything, but I thought it was adorable.
It's very good. I admittedly haven't gotten that far into it. There's 94.5 chapters currently available up to, I believe, up to date to what's been published. I've only read about 15 chapters of those just because I didn't want to get too involved in one series and then not have anything else to talk about. But
yeah, I kind of went like short series to, because I had time, right?
Yeah.
Short series to long. So this was actually like the last thing that I was reading. And I was like, okay, I'll just read like 10, 15 chapters to get a feel for it. I've read 50.
See,
I was enjoying it so much.
It is really good. I took kind of a different approach to you, Ray, where I was like, I know that this is going to be a title that we will have to mention, and it would probably be better for us to have read some of it. Again, just because it is very much within the public consciousness right now, and anime fandom right now. It was not the first thing that I started. You probably will not be surprised as to what the first thing I started and finished was. But it was very early on in my reading for this. And I totally agree. It's one that I think the premise could potentially lead people to think that it's a fairly generic premise, right? But the characters are very fun to read. Their dynamic is very fun, and it's just really, really sweet overall.
Yeah, so the premise we're talking about here is that we've got this girl, Akane. She's very bubbly, outgoing, like popular girl kind of archetype. She was head over heels for her last boyfriend who got her into this MMO. I forget what it's called, like the long title, but they just call it FOS for short.
Mm-hmm.
It's her MMO. that she's sort of a casual noob on, but we open the series with her having just been dumped because her boyfriend cheated on her with someone he met in the game. And so she is down fucking bad. And she has a chance encounter with somebody else in her MMO guild who has the stupidest avatar. And he's just like super mean and standoffish to her. But it turns out that he's a quite well-known like pro gamer called Yamada. Who her ex-boyfriend thinks is the bee's knees. And basically she ends up having a couple like IRL chance encounters with this guy who turns out to be super mega hot, of course. even though like in real life he would be the kind of guy who does not shower for a week, so but luckily this is fiction, so but yeah, and from there it just like they sort of grow closer. Her guild has like an IRL meetup where she meets the like super kind leader of her guild, who is AGIRL guy in real life. From there, it's just like shoujo manga, you know, they grow closer together, eventually end up dating. Sorry if that's like a really heavy spoiler for you guys, but but I think the strength here, first of all, I have my own MMO, so just all of the like cute little like guild interactions and stuff are like I enjoy as an MMO player, like casual MMO player. So that's nice. But the real strength here is the characters. I really love the main character, Akane, a lot. I don't know if you get like the depths of her character in the first 15 chapters, but there's just like there's a lot of sides to her character. I feel like it really like establishes her well as someone who maybe like jumps in a little too headfirst to things, but like it's because she really does just love making friends and interacting with people. I like that it doesn't try to like shame her for, you know, being a little bit boy crazy or being enthusiastic. Very bubbly, enthusiastic. But I also love that it doesn't like shame Yamada for being very, I mean honestly he's very like autistic coded, right? He struggles a lot with understanding social cues. That's why he comes off as standoffish at first. Of course we get the slow realization that he's actually super kind. But
he's just perfect boyfriend material, right?
He's really sweet. He's really sweet and he's trying hard. He just doesn't really understand this whole like emotion thing. But he just wants to make the people around him happy. It's really cute. I also, we have the main character, Akane. She's in college. She's 20, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. And I would assume Yamada's 18. He's a third year in high school.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute having an older girl and a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, not like a weird age gap, so I'm fine with it. It's whatever. Yeah.
It's a relative, like, it's a, that's not an unusual age gap, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's, that's normal. It's normal. Yeah,
so it's fine. It's cute. Yeah. And kind of, like, usually the guy's older, so it's just kind of a fun little twist. I also like all of her guild members. They're really sweet, so I love the, like, strawberry farmer.
It's a solid little shoujo romance series. I also, because I see a lot of, like, people talking about it on Twitter, obviously we mentioned, like, this is a series that got a lot of buzz just because it's had a recent anime adaptation, which apparently is very good. Can't speak to it, haven't seen it. But I know that this is one that when the anime was announced or as it was being released, it was really nice to see people proactively recommending Mangamo to go to read the chapters. Which is, like, that's not always the case when it comes to manga fans. So I think it's really nice that this series was so accessible to new and existing fans, especially right when there was this big jump in interest. That's not necessarily specific to this series, but I do think that's a really pertinent thing to keep in mind, especially considering it is worldwide availability and, again, similar subscription structure.
And worth mentioning is that Mangamo keeps hinting at the fact that they are looking into potential print options for this series in particular.
Yes, and which would be wonderful. I hope that if that is something that happens, I do hope that they consider it down the line for more of their series, because there's some really good stuff on this platform. I don't mean to keep, like, alluding to things, but it's good. Like, it is a really good service. At least what I found.
Would we like to move on to the series you alluded to earlier?
Yes, so this was one of the series that Mangamo actually announced their platform with. It was available partially for a long time, and then over, I believe, the last year or so, it finally was completed. I read the first couple chapters when Mangamo first launched, but then, you know, life happened. I didn't really keep up my subscription. I've got a lot of books to read. I've got a lot of comics to read. And I knew that it wasn't finished, so I was going to wait until they did finish it. And it took a little bit longer than I expected. That's fine. Not an issue. But in I guess, celebration of Pride Month, I finally was able to read the entirety of I Want to Be Your Girl, which is a wonderful kind of romance, coming of age, slice of life drama story about two high school girls, one who is cisgender, one who is transgender, their childhood friends, and the transgender girl. She's wanting to publicly and socially transition as she starts high school. So she decides to wear the girl's uniform, and as a show of support, and I guess as a way to try and mitigate any kind of potential negative attention on her best friend and longtime kind of crush, our mm-hmm. cisgendered girl decides to wear the boy's uniform as a way to, like, I don't know, make a statement, right? Yeah. And it's a really lovely, sweet story about people and relationships and the different types of love that people have for each other as well. And growing up, and, you know, it's messy and hard, but, oh, this is so good.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. I know this is one that you read in Japanese quite a while ago now, right? I know it's one that you own in Japanese, and it's one that you had been encouraging or hoping for a license, encouraging me to read for a long time. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is, it's our bread and butter, right? Like, this is, I see this as sort of a lighter, no, that's not quite the right word, but like a shorter, maybe less involved Blue Flag. Like, if you liked that, you'll like this. They're very, they've mm-hmm. got similar themes of like personal relationships and obviously queerness and, you know, love for people and the messy, bloody adolescence, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, if you're into, like, stuff like Our Dreams at Dusk or mm-hmm. Love Me for Who I Am that are sort mm-hmm. of ensemble LGBT casts, you know, just general LGBTQ mm-hmm. series that include a lot of, like, good information and stuff, mm-hmm. This is another one of those. So it's not just our main character, Akira-chan. The other main character herself is also queer, mm-hmm. Sort of figuring out her identity as we go. Mm-hmm.
One of the side characters,
queer. Also the teacher, who I love. Mm-hmm. we do have some ace rep here, which is nice. Also, like, I reread the series for this episode, but... Mm-hmm. As someone who purchased, like, the box set, mm-hmm. it was, like, a Kickstarter thing, so I got that for the full series mm-hmm. In print. It came with a little extra booklet that has some cute, like, extra stories and stuff in it, mm-hmm. but it also has profiles for each of the characters explaining their own label that they identify with mm-hmm. and what it means. So Hime-chan, the cisgender main character, she's mm-hmm. Pansexual. And, you know, we've got, like, lesbian, transgender, cisgender, ace, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Momo-chan, she was in there as well as, like, agender or mm-hmm. something. But yeah, this series, first of all, again, just has a lot of really good information in terms of, it is quite up to date on, mm-hmm. like, you know, how we are speaking about LGBTQ issues now. Mm-hmm. I like that it portrays people in different stages of, like, coming out socially, coming out to their friend group, coming out to themselves. I like that it shows, like, different types of, like, gender presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, Akira-chan, one thing that she's struggling with throughout the series is that her father doesn't want her to grow out her hair, even though mm-hmm. she really wants to. So, like, she gets a lot of people being like, well, why isn't this person even trying to look like a girl? So, and we have, like, another character who's, like, very conventionally cute, who mm-hmm. ends up feeling a lot of dysphoria around that because, like, they do want to present very, like, traditionally femininely, but they don't want to be perceived as a woman. So it's nice to see that kind of nuance portrayed, and that idea that there's not like a quote-unquote correct way to be trans, right? I really appreciate that. Also, just like the friend group here is adorable.
They're so sweet.
They're so supportive of each other, and like they have their little spats, but then they like think things through with each other, and they come back stronger than ever. It's cute.
It's really lovely, and I think it's really well balanced as well. Not only with, well, obviously both main characters, Hime and Akira, but kind of the people around them as well. I think it just does a really good job at showing how both of them like care about each other so much, but not necessarily in the same way, and that it's still like those are still important feelings, and it doesn't mean that they're any less important to each other just because of that. It's so sweet and lovely, and the epilogue was also like really sweet and lovely, and I was
we end with a marriage. A legibacois series that ends with gay marriage. We love to see it. And like specifically a plea for marriage equality in Japan, which we love to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just really wonderful. If you're looking for, I know Pride Month is almost over, but if you are looking for a really strong queer story to read this Pride Month, it's not super duper long. It's only 50 chapters. It is completed on Mangamo. It's the equivalent of 4 volumes, as Ray said. And, it's just it's a good time. And especially because we do have this variety of sexualities and gender identities, and it's just really good. It's just really, really good.
Yes. Next, I wanted to bring up the sort of more high-profile shonen grab here, which is Memento Memory.
Memory. It's like Memento Mori, but with memory. With a me. Yeah.
With a trying to be clever. I would say this was very different than what I expected it to be. I went into it kind of wondering if it was going to be sort of a moody, like reading the description, right? It's about this kid who can see people's lifespans.
Yeah.
So I was like, is this gonna be like a moody, like episodic, he's helping people or whatever? Which I would have preferred. But because I think I'm too old for this. but I did enjoy what we got. This was another one where, this one it was more I was feeling like I wasn't sure where I stood with the series, so I just caught up with it. So there's about like 58 chapters or something, and I was able to read all of that because, again, I am a teacher and it is summer, so don't try this at home, kids. I'm okay with what it is. It is a much more standard, like, shonen series, right? Where we've got, like, you know, our main character has his special eye that can see people's lifespans. And we end up with, like, a group of super kids who have varying macabre eye-related superpowers. So, and they're all related to, like, death, right? They're trying to solve, like, a series of serial murders, but also trying not to get caught by the cops because it turns out there's some creepy researchers who would really like to have these kids in a lab somewhere. So I feel like that's all I need to tell you for you to kind of get an idea of where this is going,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's shonen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're figuring out everybody's powers. We're, like, they're making bonds of friendship or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the main character is like, I'm gonna protect the people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
The art is really nice. I really liked the art on this one. I really like the main character. Mm-hmm. I like his perspective on death. Mm-hmm. He ends up forming it pretty early, and it stays pretty steadfast, where we've got all these characters who have sort of are much more like, you know, if somebody does something awful, then they need to be punished by being killed. Mm-hmm. Right. And him and his two little normal friends, his normie friends, are like always having these discussions about, like, well, but that's not quite right, because, like, we have, like, the main female character whose bullies were burned to death in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't feel like that's fair, because mm-hmm. I've been robbed of really the chance to have any kind of closure here. Mm-hmm. Like, not only have my bullies been robbed of the chance to atone, but I've been robbed of the chance to choose to make up with them or not.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that perspective quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
In our world today. So, there's a warmth to this series that I do appreciate. Mm-hmm. So that's my perspective on it. I think I'm too old for it, but, like, I think it's solid.
No, I agree. I think, so this one I read after a different series that we might be talking about later, Ghost Story Loop. But this one, so I kind of expected that vibe, like that same kind of, I don't know what I expected. Again, kind of a moodier, maybe more mm-hmm. violent piece. There's certainly a lot of violence in this, a lot of death. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you, Ray, in that I think that the main character helps pull this together out of what mm-hmm. could be a much more trite type of series. It ticks a lot mm-hmm. of the boxes of what you expect for shonen, and that's fine because it is a shonen. But I do think that it's valuable that our main character does have that warmth and does have that, like, real motivation to prevent people from dying. Like, he doesn't want bad things to happen, even if it is to bad people, right? Mm-hmm. And
he's willing to go against, like, even his friends to make sure that happens.
Yeah. I haven't read all of this. I've read about half of it, 25 chapters. So I'm not quite as far into it as you are, but you can already see kind of a lot of the setup for what's mm-hmm. happening. I do think that the early chapters, like the very first chapters wherein our main character is trying to just prevent the death of this girl who's becomes his friend, because mm-hmm. he sees she only has like 72 78 hours left to live, and he's like mm-hmm. why, how, and
yeah, which I have then, to help her,
I have to help her, like I can't allow someone else that I know is going to die if I can prevent it, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like a really, I mean, he's a relative stranger to her. He's new, transferred into the school, doesn't know anything about anyone, any of the social, like, structure. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's just kind of like it's a really lovely, like, selflessness. I mean, it's a little bit self-motivated just because he doesn't want to keep seeing people die, or be aware of when people are dying. But it gives a really strong sense of character very early on. And then when that incident that you mentioned, the bullies burning to death in front of them happens, the shock of that and being blindsided by that is something that also affects everyone. Everyone in that situation. Who was like stuck in that situation. It's an interesting approach to what could be, especially again with the main character and his normie support cast. I can't speak too much to the other kids with weird eyeballs. I do know some of them, but I don't know enough about them to speak to their characters yet. But I think they bring a that little bit of interest that does bring it to a pretty interesting story attempt, right? Like it's a it's a standard shonen, but it's very good at what it does, or at least it's, you know, interesting enough to continue reading it for me at least.
Yep. There are some evil twins. I don't know if you've met them yet, but I met them and I was like, for the love of God. But yeah, solid series.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I wanted to ask your opinion on one of their other like big ticket items when they were first launching, which is Donten Niwara Laughing Under the Clouds. I didn't like it.
I personally didn't read this one because I've seen the anime and I didn't like it. So I didn't expect that I would like this. This is also Laughing Under the Clouds in particular has been also released in print by Tokyopop. It's a digital exclusive to Mangamo. And the spin-off / prequels, Laughing Under the Fog and then Laughing in the Mist or whatever it is, they haven't been published in print. But, yeah, it's one that when the anime came out, I watched and struggled through it, and I did finish it, but it was more for morbid curiosity than anything else.
But at what cost?
It was like, oh, God. And it's, you know, it kind of, for me, I think it appeals in the way that, I don't want to call it Fujo bait, but it has that same kind of, like, appeal as some of these middling, not quite shoujo shonen titles that are about pretty boys, and the tragedy happens, right? That like girls eat up. And I found it really boring. I didn't like it, and I didn't like so, for those who don't know, Laughing Under the Clouds is about three brothers who I believe are they martial artists?
Who cares?
They solve problems, or they're, you know, swords for hire or something. I don't know. And they train together and blah, blah, blah. There's one who's like older, he's probably like 20-22. There's one who's about 15, and then there's one who's like 12-10. And the three of them, you know, go off and spend time together, and it's a little bit like half comedic slice of life and then half dramatic action until I don't know, bad guy, there's something about like revenge, or a bad guy comes and who maybe killed their parents. I don't really remember very well, because again, I didn't like it. And then, spoilers for the series, right? I know you don't care. Apologies, dear listeners. But it ultimately ends with, like, I don't know, I think the older brother kills the villain of the piece, who's, like, their friend, or like the one guy that they know, yeah, like the blonde the guy with the white hair. I don't remember his name. I don't know how they know each other. He's just like
a wow, contrasting hair colors. Imagine that. Yeah,
holy shit. Could you? This is why I'm saying it's kind of Fujo bait, right? Like the tragic, you know, not star-crossed lovers, but kind of, right? Hate love thing.
Yeah.
And then, so I think the brother gets revenge against the villain, and then, or he gets caught or something. The older brother dies at the end. He, like, gives himself up to the police or something, and then he's executed for crimes. I don't remember.
And then okay, everyone's... so speaking of getting executed by the police, so I've read a couple volumes of Mars Red, because of course I have.
No, I just finished on that brand one, for me. So,
on brand for me to read the vampire series. I did not get. I stopped after volume two. I was like, I don't care.
No, I mean, I read it because I got to volume two and was like, I don't care. But then also, there's only one more volume. I need to know how it ends, and it was not. It was disappointing. I didn't like it.
So. Yeah. Well, my thing is, one of the reasons I stopped reading. First of all, I'm so upset because it's a waste of a good Taisho era setting, and it is a waste of perfectly good vampires. But second of all, this author, and I saw it in Laughing Under the Clouds too, really fetishizes cops and the military so much. I don't know. I feel like in Mars Red, she's going for some kind of, like, confused-ass commentary, but, like, she thinks soldiers and police, and especially soldiers and police, abusing their authority is sexy as hell. So, that was uncomfortable.
Two for two from that author. I haven't liked their works, which is why I didn't punish myself to read Laughing Under the Clouds, because I knew I wouldn't like it. Which is also why I didn't read the other titles in this franchise. One's a prequel about, like, because the whole thing is that this family, these brothers, have like some, I don't know, power or something, you know, some genetic hereditary power, and so the prequel is about, like, their ancestor, who was like the OG dude who had that power, and, like, his love story. And then I have no idea what this spin-off's about.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Who cares? Next. Did we have any more, like, hype, like, big-ticket type of series that we wanted to talk to? Or did we want to get further into the weird stuff?
We'll jump into the weird stuff.
Did you want to pick one first?
Sure. So, one that was also kind of at their launch... was or is a title. There's not a huge amount of it on the platform, which is a bit of a shame because there's, like, a lot of chapters. It's a four coma comic called How I Lost My Large Intestine. Which is about the mangaka basically telling the story about how she lost her large intestine. A lot of just medical malpractice, right? Like, just ignoring, not only her downplaying her own symptoms for probably longer than she should have, but also once she got to hospital, her doctor not taking her complaints seriously, not even looking into anything. Yeah. Which led to her condition getting worse, and then having to be hospitalized longer, and then struggling to find a specialist, and just absolutely ruining her health. But it's all done with quite a comedic flair. I will say that I did laugh quite a bit. She's you know, she has a very unique perspective on it, which I think you'd have to, right? If you're And it's a very sad, unfortunate reality that a lot of people, but especially women, a lot of their medical issues get downplayed just because we are women. There's only 10 chapters, which is probably, I don't know, 150 pages of separate four-coma comic strips. And is about her ongoing struggles with the medical system until at some point we will learn how she will have to have her large intestine removed because, again, medical malpractice and the worsening of conditions. It's I liked it a lot, but it's a very difficult and
frustrating
topic, but presented in quite a comedic way. So it's not hard to read, but if you are someone who has gone through this kind of ongoing frustration with doctors and medical staff, then it is that like really aggravating and upsetting. Like, tale as old as time, unfortunately, and that shouldn't be the reality. But I think also in a way that's also a lot of very, like, black humor, right? Of, like, I think people can also relate to, like, oh yeah, I remember when I had the worst doctor ever who just couldn't even be bothered to fucking Google anything. And then...
Or, like, he'd Google one thing and get so proud of himself.
And you're like, oh, why have I lived this? So I really liked it. It has a, I don't know, I mean, the title is self-explanatory, but I also don't know if people necessarily know what they're getting into with that title either. It's good. It's really good. I thought it was good. I don't know. I don't know about you, Ray.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it a lot. There's a lot of really, really dark laughs in this. I really love the flash forwards that we keep getting to the mangaka now. Who's in this, like, seinen, you know, style, like, gritty bar, like, as this mature older lady who, like, goes up to the bartender and is like, you know, I don't have a large intestine.
And then the U.S., like, the U.S. dude is like, oh my god, the military guy is like, oh, what happened? And they're both the bartender and this guy are just, like, enthralled, and they keep giving her drinks. And he's like, oh, here's your Yakult. And he's like, yo, you only have those a day.
I've whipped you up something that's perfect for a woman like you. And it's a glass of nickel. it's good. But also, just speaking from personal experience, Gina knows a little bit about this, but I have a couple people close to me who have specifically had... one of them actually has ulcerative colitis, which is what this mangaka is struggling with, and did have to have their colon removed because of it. The other one, it's not specifically this condition, but specifically that person has had to go through a lot of... frankly, doctors not knowing what the fuck they're doing and has gone through a lot of years of medical trauma because of it and had all kinds of complications that they should not have had. And specifically, I think something that this series brings up is like, the shame that comes from specifically having issues with your large intestine with your colon. That it seems like something that's, you know, unspeakable. Like, it's not a topic for polite conversation, right? But, or, like, even that, like, you get people laughing in response to talking about these serious issues that you have. Because, like, haha, poop, funny. But, and it is, like, it's hard sometimes to find someone to take these issues seriously. Even though this is a very important organ for just, like, living, you know? So that was very relatable to me, specifically the levels of not just dealing with medical malpractice, but dealing with your doctor not taking you seriously because you have a quote-unquote gross or quote-unquote funny condition. So I really appreciated her frankness and her honesty with regards to that, as well as just that sense of gallows humor that at this point you really just have to have, right? It's a good series. I wish we had more of it on the app.
What about you, Ray? What's one of the weird little series that you've read?
Okay, so this is one of the ones that is getting consistently updated. So it's one that they're pushing to people who like Loving Yamada. But I did not expect this to be nearly as good as it is. But this is Yonezawa-san is done being human. It's 26 chapters. It's caught up, so there's not as many chapters to this one yet as some other series. It's about a dude who's into puppy play. You know, and he just likes wearing his dog suit and letting loose at the end of the day, but he does not. He has a girlfriend at the beginning of the series, but she like figures out about his kink. And immediately dumps him on the spot and calls him creepy. And so he's like dealing with a lot of like stigma and like self-loathing and stuff. So he ends up calling a call girl to not have sex with him, but to just like play with his dog Sona.
Yeah, indulge in his fantasy. Which
indulge his fantasy.
He's not getting in other relationships in his life, so you know.
Yep. Yeah. This series really does do a good job of portraying like that puppy space. It's like the puppy play subspace. I'm not like part of this community or anything, but it's like I do know that like that sort of experience of giving yourself over entirely to another person, that subspace is like a big thing that like submissives are looking for. And that for some people who engage in puppy play, that is something that they're looking for, is to give themselves over entirely to just being a dog.
Just an intense level of trust for the in the other person that they will look after you, right? That's, I mean, part of the whole deal.
But what the series ends up being is like a really harrowing depiction of this call girl that he has over her abusive relationship that she's in, and our main character, I guess our other main character, right? Yonezawa-san trying to sort out what's going on and trying to be a support to her while not further endangering her life. And where we are at 26 chapters is basically that arc has just ended. So we're starting a new arc. But that arc was really good. In my opinion, It was, I think the characters are dealing with a lot of very complicated emotions and the nature of their relationship as well. They're also coworkers, right? So we've got like the crazy coincidence where you hire a call girl to come like indulge your puppy play fantasies and it's your coworker. So that's whatever.
It's the double lives that we all lead, right? Like, now
Yes.
he knows her secret, she knows his secret, and then that's a whole nother level of trust because you gotta see
Yeah.
that person at work.
Yeah. And you've got the whole like she's the bumbling like coworker who always makes mistakes and apologizes constantly. And he's like the super capable like person in the office, but it's like, you know, when they're in the bedroom, like, you know, he's the puppy and she's the master kind of thing. Of course, it turns out that the reasons that she's so distracted at work all the time are harrowing. But, yeah, I just thought that this was really good, like, drama. It was good. And it was quite a realistic portrayal of an abusive relationship. It ended on a weird note, but I think I interpret it as like this was what needed to happen for her to feel like she had closure. But yeah, also the art's super cute, so that's a plus as well.
That's true. I agree completely. I went into that one expecting basically like you're my pet or Kimiwa pet. And it's not that I'm not gonna say that they're totally different. They're both dramatic series about relationships, but this one handles a lot darker issues a lot earlier on, especially. So yeah, don't well, I don't know if it's one that doesn't that might dissuade people with the title. But it is definitely worth trying, just so long as you are aware of that, because there's warnings. Most places like Anime Planet and that have those tags on it, so just be aware that it does handle some very heavy topics if you're wanting to go into
Yeah.
it.
If you're triggered by like domestic abuse content, I would definitely recommend looking up your trigger warning list because there's some pretty harsh imagery going on here. But yeah, I liked this one. I like the main character too. He's cute. You're like a good boy, a good sweet boy.
Good boy, both in the human sense and the dog sense. So it works on
Yes.
multiple levels.
All right, your go. Pick another one. Pull one out of the hat.
I'm again, haven't read nearly as much as you have over the course of the last couple weeks, right? But I'll talk about the one that I mentioned earlier, which is Ghost Story Loop. Is that what it's called? Ghost Loop Time? I
Ghost, I don't know.
don't know. This one is a Ghost Story Loop. I was correct. This one is about a girl who doesn't believe in like curses or ghosts or anything, but her older brother does. And so he maintains like this weird, an online blog about all the weird cursed places, and all the stories around the country.
This one.
And then so she decide well, and so he pays her in desserts to go to all of these haunted places to get photos because she's like, I'm not afraid of it. I'm just going to do it. It's like easy cake for me. And when she does so, all of a sudden, like, she goes to one place, all of a sudden weird things start happening to her and she realizes or she feels like she's been cursed by whatever was at the creepy well that she was at. Mm-hmm. And in her desperation, because the curse is like, oh, and you only have like 2 days to live or you die before midnight of that same day. And in her desperation, she calls basically like an exorcist who's like, sure, I'll help you. And I will prevent this. I will break this curse from you. And so he's able to do kind of a little exorcism thing on this curse, on this ghost, this weird bug thing that is in the well. And he literally consumes the curse. That's how he like disables it. But whilst they are trying to, although they're able to, or he's able to successfully dismantle this curse, she still dies. She still dies before midnight, as was her fate, as was the curse behest to her. But surprise, she wakes up again, same day that earlier that same day. She's stuck in a time loop and recognizes like, oh my goodness, this is Groundhog Day. And so ultimately she finds out that this exorcist that she kind of ran into was hired mm-hmm. by a previous version of herself in a previous loop to save her. He's been looping the same day for a very long time. Who knows? Many, 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 many months. And so he believes that the only way to... Well, he's able to successfully break the curse. So she's, after a while, after a couple chapters, she's free from that fate of death. But she has gotten stuck in the time loop with him. So those two are looping whilst everyone else around them is living the same day. Well, they're all living the same day, but no one else is aware of it. And so now various people around them, the childhood best friends and just random strangers, they have gotten cursed by various spooky things around their mm-hmm. town, and so now these two are trying to stop the people that they care about, or just people in general, dying horrible deaths from curses. And it was a pretty solid time. I've only read about 25-ish chapters of mm-hmm. the 50 or so that have been released. But I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought mm-hmm. there was, like, a really good tension, especially in those early chapters, that desperation of, like, knowing there's a ticking clock, leading up into, like, oh my gosh, I only have 4 hours to live. And that... So initially how she gets caught in this time loop is she protects this exorcist, and that's how she dies. She gets... what is it? Final Destination style killed by some pipes smashing through their car from a truck and ahead of them. And because of that, it allows her to maintain memories, or she remembers the previous loop, which then draws her into that larger time loop. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know if you read this one, but it's creepy. It's very kind of like, I don't want to say monster of the weekish, but it's got that cool creepy vibe and they're fun characters.
I didn't read this. I read the first like one or two chapters mm-hmm. and just didn't keep going because I wanted to prioritize other things that grabbed mm-hmm. me quicker. Mm-hmm. Also, it's just like, if you say to me, like, urban fantasy, like, internet, mm-hmm. well, monster that'll curse you, I'm like, okay, bye.
So it's less about the well monster.
As I'm realizing as you describe what the series is about, so maybe I'll give it another shot. But I'm glad to hear that it's more interesting than I thought from the first chapter or two. So,
Yeah, no, I think it's one that built on itself, and once it kind of got more into the time loop aspect of it, and also like the exorcism weird aspect of it, it got more compelling than just like, oh, you know, she's cursed by a creepy thing, urban, you know, urban legends. Yeah, it's not like, it's not reinventing the wheel, but I had a good time with it.
Alrighty. Speaking of not really in reinventing the wheel, but having a good time, we're just on track with the segues today. This is one that was published by Viz back in the day, so all of these volumes are available in print. There's 7 of them. But when I say available, I mean that by a technicality.
They came out in 2006. You're not getting them anymore.
They exist somewhere. You're going to have to pay about like $200 per volume if you want it these days, or happen upon it in a local used bookstore. So I wish Mangamo had more of this series. It only has about 2 volumes. But I say I'm too old for shonen. This slapped. this is Kudo Zakudo. It is an action horror series. It's about this kid who, what does he say? He's like, I don't want to hit people because,
I know how, like, how painful it is to be hit, so I don't want to inflict that pain on anyone else. And you're like, oh, kid!
You're it's like, always, oh, precious bean!
It's always that, those kinds of kids that get these horrible things that happen to them. I'm like, I don't want bad things to happen to you. God damn it. Like, why? It couldn't have happened to a nicer kid, honestly.
Yeah, but that very nice kid is the strength of the series. So we've got this kid who wouldn't hurt a fly. He's sort of small. He's sort of wimpy. He gets bullied because of it. But he never once punches back. And when his friend, the girl in the series, she's mad at him because she's like, she's sort of a tomboy.
Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, she's like, you better stand up for yourself. And she's like, you don't hit them because, like, you don't want to get hit back because, you know, you'll get hurt. And that's a wimpy way of thinking. And he's like, no, I don't hit people because I know how much it hurts to be hit. And I don't want other people to be hurt. So he basically, what is it? He swallows a weird
he's sitting on the riverbank, and this weird egg seed thing ends up in his bag, and then in the middle of the night it crawls down his throat. And he has a weird dream about a weird kid in front of a tree.
A weird kid in front of a tree who has shark teeth and a creepy grin. And he's like, you know, what is it that you want? And he's like, well, I want to be stronger in order to fend off these bullies, like, you know, that keep absolutely ruining my life every day.
every single day.
You know, and being able to look cool and strong in front of this girl. And He's like, cool, I'll grant your wish, but you have to grant mine. I want you to fill this tree with flowers. And of course, he wakes up the next day, and it's very Spider-Man style, where he's like, wow, suddenly I don't need my glasses. This is weird. What's wrong with my eyes? He goes to school, and he has a run-in with his bullies, finds himself getting very, very angry, and breaks some bones, which is something he did not have the capability of doing, even if he wanted to before. But suddenly, it's like snapping a twig. Interesting.
Curious.
Yep. So, who is it he overhears first? I know there's the girl at his school who, like, transfers in.
No, it's the other guy, because he's like he starts kind of freaking out because he's starting to like,
oh yeah, he ran into the other guy, the older guy,
yes,
yeah. Mentor, whatever. And the other guy is like fending off this strange like monster, and it's an ogre. And he sort of learns some of what he's probably becoming from this guy. He is turning into an ogre, so if he gives himself over to his like natural instincts, his anger, then you know he'll hulk out, he'll turn into a scary kaiju monster that eats people. That's the other thing, is he's suddenly very, very attracted to blood and viscera, like, looks delicious. And he's like, oh, wait, what? That's weird.
That's weird. No, yikes. Don't want to do that.
don't want to do that, but I do. So very Tokyo Ghoul in that respect. But now he knows that if he gives into those feelings, he's gonna end up looking like a scary kaiju monster, and these weird exorcist dudes are gonna, demon hunter, ogre hunter guys are gonna come along and murder him to death. Yes. And that there's no other way. Every ogre is doomed to that fate. There's no way to bring them back. And he's like, well, no, I don't want to die. I don't want to die yet. This isn't my fault. I don't know why this is happening.
I didn't choose this. I mean, yeah, I said I want to be stronger, but nobody told me, like, I didn't pick up this egg. I didn't even make a conscious decision. It crawled in my mouth by itself. You cannot blame me for this.
I don't know who the hell this kid is. And so he's also like, I don't want to hurt the people who are going to be hurt if I'm gone, right? Because he's the sweetest little angel on the planet. So he's like, I need to find out more about what's going on with me. I need to avoid this guy and whoever he's working for. I have a right to be alive. Yeah. I'm not going to let them kill me. I'm just going to hang my head low. I'm going to have my head down. Not cause any trouble, and it's gonna be okay. And he ends up meeting this girl, transfer student at school, who she is a ogre hunter, who has been stationed at this school to find an ogre who's supposed to be there. All of the ogre hunters have a bell on one of their ears that rings whenever an ogre is in the vicinity, behaving like an ogre, so giving into their ogre instincts. And he's like, well, gotta get rid of that bell. But also he like ingratiates herself to her very quickly and is like, I can get information out of her about what's happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I totally believe you. I totally believe you. And this is super scary.
Mm-hmm.
As humans, we really need to find this ogre and track it down and get rid of it. So like, whatever you need me to do to help, I will do anything
mm-hmm.
to find this ogre and get rid of it.
So tell me more about how, like,
yeah, tell ogres... me more about, like, ogres and, what they're like, and, you know, anything that, like, for example, happens to, say, like, a fledgling ogre, I don't know, just, like, you know, information that might help me
find
the ogre.
Find
so
them?
We can kill it.
Yeah.
Of course, he's even though he has ulterior motives here, in general, he's very earnest and sincere. So she does believe him. And we end on a cliffhanger where he has sort of unwittingly revealed himself to her. And she has lured him into a trap.
Mm.
So, yeah, really cruel manga mode to end on that cliffhanger, to be honest. Hateful activity. This rocks. It's just really good. It's really fast-paced,
mm-hmm.
Really, like, it keeps the tension up, does not let up.
Mm-hmm.
The change in art style whenever we go into, like, his mind that has the kid in it.
Yeah.
Is really wild and
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
The lore here is we've only gotten the bits and pieces so far, but it's mm-hmm. really interesting. It's really rich. And again, the main character is such a strength here because, mm-hmm. like, his whole thing is that the reason that he's been able to resist his ogre instincts is that he's just that much of a bang-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's just a little sweetie. And you mentioned Tokyo Ghoul. I also want to say, like, Parasite is sort of the same thing where it's, you know, they're good mm-hmm. kids who, like, some fucked up shit happened to them and now they're in a horrible
yeah.
situation and you're like,
yeah.
Oh. And the only reason they're not, like, in a worse situation is just because they're just genuinely great people. And you're like, oh, keep working hard. I hope you get this fixed in some capacity.
Yeah,
so if you like those types of stories, then be sure to check this one out.
Yep. I also just want to talk briefly
mm-hmm.
about the other series on here that is
mm-hmm.
by this creator,
mm-hmm.
Which is White Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Only 6 chapters on here.
Yes, yeah.
I hope we get more.
Mm-hmm.
This is a historical series about the first Japanese settlement. Not colony,
mm-hmm.
settlement to be established in America
mm-hmm.
In the 19th century. A lot of the characters in this are real people. The main girl is actually, we think, the first Japanese woman to be buried on American soil. This was, I think it's got some weird ideas about what it means to be Japanese that borders on like Nihonjin Ron, but like
yeah.
I don't think in a way that's consciously trying to be like
yeah.
super nationalist.
It's not,
it's very much just like
message. It's just
yeah,
the unfortunate reality.
It's just like this is kind of how Japanese people see
it. Yeah, this is just the unfortunate reality of the education system. Like, this is just...
Yeah.
This is...
Yeah. I don't think that stuff is like, okay, roll your eyes, but it's not, for me, it didn't overpower what is a really interesting topic to write a historical series about. Something that I'm quite interested in reading more about. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's only 6 chapters, so I don't feel like I have more to say about it. Basically, there's like an area of Japan that was defeated in war and ended up facing a lot of like oppression and persecution because of that. This white dude comes along. What's his name? Schnell. He's real. He's a real guy. He is like, you know, I really want to, I think you guys, you know, you have this indomitable spirit. Like, they keep kicking you down, but you keep getting up. I want to take you guys to America, and I want us to build a settlement there that is like a new Anzu province or Aizu province. I don't remember. So that's the story. And we get as far as them getting to America and sort of being faced with being, you know, they were a minority population in Japan. Now they're just a minority population who sticks out more.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. The reason I say that, like, the, you know, Japanese people are special stuff doesn't come across super insidious is that the treatment of, we particularly see interaction with Chinese immigrants is not particularly mean-spirited. They're also like, you know, these guys are working hard and they shouldn't be facing oppression just for trying to make it here in the land of opportunity. You know, America wasn't what we thought it would be. You know, we can bond over our shared experiences of being foreigners in this land kind of thing, you know, and being like, wow, it's so cool that they built this Chinatown here where it's like a little piece of their home. So it's like, that's where I'm like, I don't think that the, like, Japanese people are so hardworking and like special is like means like it's not on purpose.
Yeah. It's as innocent as any of that kind of propaganda that you've been raised in can be, right? Like, it's just, it's ignorance to reality that we all have to a certain extent. A blindness to, you know, our own blindness. So the last series that I'm going to be talking about is one called Changing Fates, which is about there's kind of self-contained stories, well, not episodic chapters, but like each, you know, 10 chapters is about a particular character. And so it's about, initially it's about a guy who discovers this weird, like, app ad on his phone. He's a bit of a hikikomori. He doesn't go to school. He's being seriously bullied and just doesn't really like his life. But when he sees this ad, it's like, do you want the powers of a god? And it gives... And so he's like, sure. And it allows... It kind of, like, gives you a gacha power, which you choose. And then, so initially he gets the power to, like, affect water in any way that he wants. And which he quickly realizes, like, is real and is affecting the real life around him. And so... growing corrupt on the power that he has been given, and with the knowledge that he has the ability to get more powers in exchange for a fee, to which he does not know what the fee is. He decides to keep getting more and more powers to just better his life. He also is put in contact with the support line, who is this dude who is just like very mysterious. It's like, oh yes, I don't know what the fee will be, and don't you want, what kind of life do you want to create for yourself? And so he basically, like, he gets this power to affect anyone, or like any living thing, the ability to not persuade them, but like be desirable or whatever to them. And then he has another power to go into people's minds, or he starts getting some really sinister powers. He has one to accelerate time to any individual. And so he starts ruining his bullies' lives. Or not even his bullies. They're just like popular people that he doesn't like. He starts a relationship with a girl in his class who's affected by this, you know, pheromone power that he has. And ultimately he makes a bad decision, wherein, because he has the power that for his anything he imagines to come true, he accidentally kills his girlfriend when he gets like pissed off that her politician dad is like, stay away from my daughter. And so he desperately tries to keep like rolling the dice, try and get a resuscitation or revival, like revive from death power to bring his girlfriend back. He's the king of the school, basically. All of his bullies are, you know, have been transferred away or were turned into old men or whatever else he did to ruin their lives. But he very quickly, he starts to get very forgetful. He doesn't really remember everything. And it is revealed at the end of it all, he's not able to become a god, much to the support line's dismay. And so payment comes due, and that payment is all of his memories. And in like a Chekhov's gun style, the item that he initially chose in his gacha style of initial power is indicative of like the horrible fate that befalls him. So that's the first like little wrapped up, which is fine. Like he was an asshole. I wasn't upset about that. But again, this is very much kind of a Death Note style of like power corrupts and ultimate power corrupts ultimately, right? And when, again, like Light Yagami is an asshole, so who cares about that guy? But you can see how there's a potential for like good people to get swept up in obsessively like wanting to better their life or for something to happen. The second storyline, or the second like main character who's introduced, that's kind of his issue, is that he's stuck on the death of his girlfriend from a couple years ago. He's adamant, or he's always found it suspicious that it was ruled suicide, so now he wants to like find her killer, and in doing so he, you know, gets all these powers and is trying to hunt down her murderer. And I don't know how that one ends, because we only have like 15 chapters and so I'm not that far through. Yeah, it's. I think if you like, again, this kind of deal with a devil Faustian story, and I think that obviously with this somewhat episodic or self-contained storylines, you can jump around between a lot of characters, a lot of character personalities, and there's a lot of potential here. It is, the series itself is complete at like 65 chapters, but again, we only have 15 on the app, So I'm hoping that more and the rest of it does come, because it is, it's a good creepy little series that is also very digestible in like bite-sized pieces, obviously, if you just want to read one storyline at a time. It's not a huge mm-hmm. commitment. You can get through it pretty quick.
That was another one that I sort of started and mm-hmm. put down for later. That is good to hear that it gets more interesting as it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still have a handful to talk about, so I'm going to speed run them. Okay? I've read so much. Okay, easiest one to talk about, because it's entirely wordless and it's only 6 chapters. We have Byakko, White Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
This one's just pretty to look at. It's it's really beautifully drawn.
There's It'll no take story you, like, to it.
No, it's just tigers.
Mm-hmm.
It takes like 10 minutes to get through the whole thing, mm-hmm. and it's pretty. So, mm-hmm. next one. Let's go. I am the AI. I don't know if you read this one.
No.
It's 9 chapters. Mm. I think in all it's only like 11 or 12. So it's just missing like the last little bit. It's based off of a novel. But this is about a girl who has... Basically, she's a super genius, right? Mm-hmm. Her brain mm-hmm. works at incredible speeds that other people's brains can't process.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring her in to try to solve their issue that they're having with an AI that is going haywire. The AI turns out to be the sort of... There's an author, this girl... So this girl, she processes things so fast that mm-hmm. she can read an entire book in, like, a minute, right? Mm-hmm. So she's read, like, every book in her city. She's constantly looking for new books to read because she doesn't have any friends. Mm-hmm. Other people don't understand her.
Mm-hmm.
Her only friends are her books. You know, you've heard this story before, right?
Yeah.
It's very Matilda energy. they lure her into this project because it turns out that one of her favorite authors, who has continued to put out books and has a new one coming out, actually died a few years before, and they mm-hmm. have replaced him with an AI that is educated on his novels.
Mm.
And so they bring her in because this AI has started to go haywire. And she goes in and she is able to have a conversation with the AI like nobody has ever been able to before.
Mm-hmm.
And what it tells her is that she needs to upload it onto her phone and escape, because there are government officials who are trying to use the AI for nefarious purposes. Government officials would never. And she has fallen in love with this AI at first sight. So yeah. She decides to go along with what the AI is planning. And we get, you know, epic chase sequence ensues. She and this AI are, from that point on, sort of buddy cop style, trying to figure out what the conspiracy is, why they created this AI in the first place,
mm-hmm.
and why it seems that this AI has split into two versions of itself. One that is the one that she has on her phone, and the other one, which seems to be evil. So, this is just, it's really fun. It's fast paced. The characters are likable. Really strong art. Sort of reminiscent of Chika Umino, which is why I say, if you are a fan of Eden of the East, this is going to be a fun one for you in particular, dear listener. I wasn't expecting anything out of this one because I don't usually go for like AI stories. You give me something called I in the AI, and I think like video girl I. I'm like, this is going to be some sort of like sexy fantasy AI girlfriend. It is not. This is just a really well-paced, fun thriller, and it's based on like pretty like up-to-date like info and research about AI and like implications that we're looking at AI having right now. In between the chapters, there's also sort of little informational pieces written by the author about different aspects of AI that they have researched for the series, and that stuff's also really interesting, so I do recommend this one. Next one. Let's go. Conditions of the Wicked. This is about, this is probably a series that I think you would like, G. It's caught up with 14 chapters, so this is about a group of people who have all been invited, you know, to a creepy mansion by a creepy dude who calls himself Dante, because whatever. But the thing here is that they all have, you know, it's a thing where they've all committed some sort of terrible sin in their past that they don't want anyone knowing about. And what I find to be really engaging about this series is that each of the characters is really fully formed. We really delve into like their pasts and their reasons for doing things. Again, it's another one where the main character is just super likable because he's a genuinely good guy, despite the fact that he's, you know, done something horrible in his past. And we really get, like, between the characters, instead of there being this fierce competition among them, we get, like, a really sweet, like, found family dynamic, among like hurt people just seeking out connection. So I would really love to read more of this. Okay, next one, let's go. We'll do the other horror ones, I guess. The Voice of Tsukumo. These are like series that I think you would be into, G. The Voice of Tsukumo has 18 chapters. This one is about a girl who ends up being, what was it that happened to her? Oh gosh. She loses someone, but she's basically she's in a period of like grieving, right? And ends up cursed. No, you know what happened to her? She had a stalker. And she's she had a very traumatic run-in with a stalker. Sorry, it took me a second to remember. I've read so many series over the last couple weeks. Yeah, so she had a traumatic run-in with a stalker that has left her afraid of everyone. Especially men. And you know, we open with like her mom's like, you really need to like think about maybe counseling, things can't go on like this. But she's not there yet. She's very much like wallowing in like her pain and her hurt and her fear. And her fear, as things do in Japanese horror, starts to take form. And she is being chased by this shadow, and just as it seems about to consume her, she is rescued by a mysterious silver-haired man who pulls her through the cracks in reality and takes her into a weird upside-down world that is really cool to look at. The art here is a lot of fun. And he explains how the world is full of these beings called Tsukumo that are spirits that attach themselves to objects that have significant history to them, that mean things to people, which is a concept that you see again and again in Japanese folklore, right? And she, in order to get out of this like weird upside down world, she has to find one of her own Tsukumo, which means she has to go into her past, which is something that she hasn't been wanting to think about lately because of this traumatic experience that she's had. But basically the objects from her childhood and the love and familial bonds that are attached to them end up rescuing her and allowing her to return to her life. And from there, she ends up trying to help other people who are afflicted by muck of their own and helping them to find the Tsukumo who will help them out of their situations.
Very good.
Next, we have Kanata and Konata. This is 23 chapters. It's about a teenage girl and her, like, first grade sister. Their names are Kanata and Konata. Konata, the little girl, the first grader, ends up... Basically, they both can see ghosts and yokai. But the older sister doesn't... Like, she pretends that she can't. Which her little sister doesn't understand. She's like, you know... I know you can see these things, and I'm not crazy. Everyone says I'm crazy, and I'm a liar, but I know that you can see them too, right?
They are young Natsume Takashi at two different stages of his life, is what you're saying.
Exactly, yes. Unfortunately, these yokai aren't quite as friendly.
Oh, no!
So, Konata ends up... she ends up finding this bizarre black fish that talks to her, and it wants her to gather the five pieces of its body from shrines around town where it has been sealed dispersed with chains. So, and she's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Because
she's six.
And that always leads to good things.
And so Kanata, the older sister, is like, I can tell that this fish is bad news. But I also don't want to deal with my little sister's stupid bullshit. And she's got ish of her own. She ends up getting in this rather toxic friendship with a girl who, of course, turns out to be afflicted by yokai of her own. And that ends up distracting her for a while from this fish business. And things go from there. Yeah, no resolution there because it is a partial series. But... very enticing horror setup so far.
Good to know.
Eternity of Creation, 11 chapters. This one is about a kid who grew up really loving Claude Monet. He's got an artist mom. His artist mom had a tragic experience that made it so that she can't paint anymore. And now he's like disillusioned from the art world, and he's like, I don't like the art, and I don't want to be an artist. He ends up going to an exhibition of Monet's things. He looks at a particular painting of a Japanese woman that Monet has done. It's very famous. And he gets sucked into the painting back in time, where he immediately runs into a teenaged Claude Monet. He ends up actually telling Monet, like, what's going on with him. Monet's like, I don't really believe you, dude, but, like, clearly you're going through some stuff, so I'm gonna help you. He takes in this Japanese kid, And Japanese kid quickly realizes that he has to find the same painting in order to get back to his own time. But that painting does not exist yet. And Mr. Monet, a teenager that he is, has absolutely no intention of ever becoming a painter. So this is a problem for our protagonist. And he's like, okay, well, I have to do something to make this kid want to become a painter. So we're basically just following him through Monet's life, and that's pretty cool. Okay.
Last one.
Last series. Last one. Okay. This one was a complete surprise. Mm-hmm. Did not expect to like this one at all. Mm-hmm. It's really sweet. Department of Demon Resources, 28 chapters. This is about a little demon named Yggdrill. You see her on the cover and you're like, oh god, this is going to be one of those Lolicon series, but it is not. this is about this little demon girl, Yggdrill, who is the leader of level 7 of a, you know, video game style dungeon. But she has just been demoted. Well, it's not a demotion. She considers it a demotion, but it's actually just a transfer to a different department. She gets put in the Department of Demon Resources, which, of course, dungeon full of demons. This is the human resources department, but it's called Demon Resources. this is so sweet. So sweet. All of the Demon Resources department members are super adorable. There's a harpy. There's a Doulahan. There is a gay minotaur. And their boss is a slime. it's sort of her, like, starting out as a very unempathetic, like, boss who doesn't care about anyone else, and becoming an HR person, and, you know, getting to know the people in, like, levels 1 and 2 of the dungeon, who are, like, the little slimes and the little eyeball monsters that the heroes always absolutely massacre. And realizing that she really actually has a knack for HR once she, you know, gets over herself a little bit. and the lore here is super cute. You know, every once in a while I find that video game lore to be charming, and this is a case of that. Yeah, recommend it. Lots of cute little monsters, fun lore. Likeable characters, very sweet and funny. I laughed a lot. Okay.
Very good. On to the questions. We have questions from two people. Thank you very much for sending them in. So at Sunlit Lake asked, we kind of answered this already, as to, is there an overall common vibe to the kind of manga they have? Is there a particular genre or theme that they specialize in? Or is it all very generic and random? I wouldn't call any of it generic, but there's a lot of randomness to it.
There's a lot of random.
there's also stuff that's really, really good. Hopefully we've talked a lot about a lot of them. But there's also stuff that isn't, you know, necessarily worth reading. A lot of shorter series, a lot of, like, I've read some of the one-shots. I did find them good, but some of those titles from, like, the really, really tiny, weird digital publishers that just license anything and get a really poorly paid, you know, translator and letter to kick something out. They're not going to be the best, but you certainly do have a huge amount there of all sorts of genres, and I would say, considering the Ganma partnership, there it does mean that you do have a lot more, and obviously with our tastes, we went into a lot more of those, like, supernatural, horror, suspense types of stories, but that, and just weird kooky stuff that you wouldn't necessarily see on a platform that's tied to a specific publisher necessarily. But yeah, that I think that's, that you can find pretty much anything for anyone on Mangamai.
It's I will say there's quite a few that are like dangerous game type of like group of people being brought together for some sort of death game kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those, but I think there's just a lot of those in webcomics in Japan right now. So. Yeah.
It's hitting its stride in the same way that Isekai was doing 5 years ago. It's just, you know, we haven't seen the turnover quite yet in English print publishing, but it's happening and it's happening fast. Other questions?
In general, all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. Other questions from Stories on Shelves at Storied Shelves. We spoke about hidden gem licenses and the stuff that we've read on the platform, as well as how the app compares to others like it. It is really nice having the subscription service versus the points or ink or, you know, whatever it is, coins, stuff that K-Manga and Manga Up and those sorts of platforms are doing. But again, that's just...
I think...
a product of Japanese publishers versus ones who are familiar with the Western market.
It's very line manga energy. If we could talk a little bit about like UI and our experiences with like the apps, like UI and the reader. I was expecting it to be like super janky. Not nearly as smooth as something like Shonen Jump, but I was pleasantly surprised.
I was actually, I liked it a little bit more than Shonen Jump just because, well, I read on Jump, I also read on Manga Plus, and sometimes it's a pain to like get from one chapter to the next chapter just really easily. That is not an issue on Mangamai. I was so thrilled.
Navigation is quite easy.
Yes. Once you're also, in the chapters.
Also, I didn't... Yeah, it's easy to get to the chapter list. It's easy to navigate within a chapter as well. You can open up like a spread of all the pages in a chapter and quickly navigate to whatever page you want.
Yes.
I also found that I didn't have any major lag issues, which I sometimes do with Shonen Jump. But at the same time, like, the quality was fine, and I'm able to zoom in just fine, which is important to me.
My one also, my one con for the app is that I don't think the searchability is as easy as it could be. I think that there's so much stuff on there, and unless you are really, like, aware that a title is on there, or it's spotlighted on that front page... you could be scrolling forever and not find it, which, and it also, like, I wanted to just look at Mangamo exclusive stuff. There's no tag for that, which is one of the ways that you can break down the larger catalog in the searches, and so I was a little bit like, oh, I have to go through like every genre tag and find the ones with the Mangamo little dot on it, which was annoying. It's not like a, obviously it's not a make or break thing, but I do think that that's something that can be improved in the future, hopefully.
I also, my one con would be that, at least on the Android version that I was using, you can't, like, rotate the screen into a landscape view for two-page spreads. So all two-page spreads were
cut
split
in half,
for me, which is very annoying as an art appreciator. But... one other thing I wanted to praise was that once you have found the series that you're interested in, it's very easy to bookmark them. You have a list that you can go to, much like something like Crunchyroll, where you can access all of the titles that you've bookmarked in the order that you've bookmarked them. And also, once you start reading series,
it keeps track really well.
It keeps track really well. You have a reading list of the stuff that you've started and are in the middle of. And you also have a completed list for titles that you are caught up on or have completed.
And it's also,
so it was very easy for me to go back through those.
On the Android app, which is what I used, it's also really easy to remove titles from that, like, bookmarked list, which is, like, was really a pain in some of the other apps. So I just found that functionality, again, with the UI, just I don't want to say surprisingly good, because obviously they put a lot of work into it, but, like, way better than you might expect from, like, one that's not attached to Kodansha or Viz or wherever else.
Sorry, if I could note just one more thing. Sorry, we're kind of hurrying because I have a hard cutoff time in five minutes. So. In terms of reader experience, translations here. Again, like some of the like smaller like publishers that they're just, you know, housing stuff for, obviously rely on machine translation and the like. So you're going to get as much of a variety there as, you know, the number of publishers you're dealing with, right? However, the stuff that is MangaMo exclusive, I generally had a positive experience with translation. They had translator, letterer, editor,
Credits,
always credited in every chapter, right at the end. And, you know, these are translator names, quite a few of them I recognized. From other things that they've done. They're, you know, they're not outsourcing to some sort of like assisted machine learning thing. They're getting freelancers to do this stuff, which is good. The one thing is like, it does seem like there's must be like some quick deadlines going on in terms of typos suddenly increasing in the most recent chapters of some things that are being simulpubbed. Yeah, that's a thing on the Shonen Jump app as well. But yeah, good translations, good people doing those. So that's important to note.
Overall, good experience. Two more questions from Story on Shelves. The first being, do you see more manga apps popping up in the future that hold exclusive licenses? How do you feel about that? I think it's just an unfortunate reality of these various services. I do think that considering the amount of content that you get and that MangaMo isn't tied to any particular publisher, it does. And if you're wanting to read the digital Kodansha stuff that was ripped out of everywhere else, this is the place to do it. I do think that as more platforms rise and fall, it means that we will lose some titles and stuff that is licensed exclusively to places. Again, unfortunate reality of capitalism, all, you know, steamrolling towards platforms that kind of are competing directly with each other and aren't as well thought out as the Viz's and the MangaMo's of this world.
But I think, like, in to conclude, well, the last question was just like, how do you feel about that? So,
well, we have one other question, which is, of those exclusive titles, which publishers would you like to see publish those titles if they got a print release? And honestly, anyone. I think the reality of it would probably be either Tokyo Pop. We, again, this Laughing Under the Clouds thing has happened already. Or I could see Seven Seas or Yen doing this. I don't really see a Viz or Kodansha buying into that. But, you know, I would, if I had to put money on it, Tokyo Pop would probably be my choice. Or like the way I think is expected.
Yeah, that's the most probable. Or, you know, if MangaMo ends up doing this print thing with Loving Yamada and it works out for them, we could see like print on demand or something like that happening.
Yeah, which would be good because I'd want some of their titles, especially because we talked a lot about a lot of titles.
Sort of last note here, just reiterating the fact that you mentioned MangaMo right alongside Viz and Shonen Jump, I think is a good place to end here. I was going in expecting this to be like a weird, obscure, garbage UI kind of app, to be honest. I didn't think there were that many titles on it. turns out this is a really solid app with a lot to offer, including quite a lot of really interesting exclusive titles, but also an excellent opportunity to try out series that you've been thinking about from a variety of different publishers. And like, UI is solid, translations are solid, like, to the point that we can mention it in the same sentence alongside, you know, the forerunners in this space, which is Viz. So
by far and away, it's it's really nice to see a, I guess, independent manga subscription service like this. That's sort of what Furukiya was, although that never had an app for understandable reasons, but now has kind of turned into this weird hybrid Frankenstein of itself, which is very sad. And so it's, although we do have, I can't speak to Azuki, I've heard very good things about that one as well, but we, you know, the manga up and line manga and K-manga, we've had some horror stories and a lot of growing pains in this manga simulpub industry over the last couple years. So it's nice to see like a total, I don't want to say nobody, but like a team that isn't tied to any a major publisher just do such a good job and really, I think, respond to reader and fan not demands, but criticisms and expectations for this sort of thing as well. And with that, we've come to the end of our episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Next month, Ray and I are going to be doing Heart of Thomas, which is a very special series spotlight for Ray's particularly, but it's a classic of the shoujo era, 70s shoujo, and one of the forerunners of BL. So be sure to send your questions in if you so have them. Thank you everyone who did send in their questions this month. We really appreciate it. And this was such a wonderful experience. It's not one that we get to do all the time, but it is really fun when we do, although it is a lot of work on our end. If you did enjoy this podcast episode, be sure to follow us either on my YouTube channel, Simply G, where you can listen to the podcast there, or listen to it as a audio episode on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all of the major podcasting platforms. You can also find me on social media, on Twitter specifically, at G, that's G-E-E underscore reads. And be sure to follow Ray on all of her social medias, including her Whimsical Pictures YouTube channel, as well as her Twitter, Whimsical Pix, that's P-I-X, all one word. And yeah, thank you so, so much for listening, everyone. I will catch you in the next episode. Bye till then.